Beginning with verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stop when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And John answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with one who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And John said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And John said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. as the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, John preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise. This week, if you were here, we were talking about keeping track of time. What time is it? It's Advent time, right? And some people use calendars or they use watches to keep track of the time. But we use an Advent wreath. And how many candles are lit tonight?
Two.
How many candles were lit last week?
One.
Do you see how it's marking time for us? And last week, we talked about the birds. Do you know the difference between a night owl and a morning lark? Well, a night owl is awake at night. And a morning lark is sleeping at night and wakes up at the crack of dawn because the early bird catches the worm, right? But whether you are a morning lark or a night owl, Jesus says that Advent is about staying alert, about keeping awake. And so we had a prayer last week. Watch me through the night, wake me with the morning light. Remember that one? Now I lay me down to sleep, right? And there's a song about Noah and the ark and about arise and shine and give God the glory, glory. So get out of bed, sleepyhead, right? That was week one. But tonight, well, tonight we're going to talk about how we get prepared and how we get ready. Like if something special is coming up, you might have some things to do to get ready for it, right? Right? Like what?
I'm going to Washington for Christmas, so I have to pack and get ready.
Okay, you can't just click your finger and say, I want to be in Washington, right? You have to get tickets, you have to pack your bags, you got to get everything ready, you got to get up to the airport, you got to fly in a plane. There's a lot of things to prepare, right? Okay, or if company is coming your way, you might say, better vacuum the floor, better put some clean sheets and clean towels in there, right? Maybe get some special food that you know that your company likes. So we know how to prepare and get ready. If you want to be prepared for bad weather, like if the lights go out in here, you can say, not a problem. Pastor Dave has a flashlight, and it works. But what if the battery dies in this? Then what? What would it mean to be prepared? Huh? You could take this out, and you could put the new batteries in, right? And I would be prepared, right? Well, maybe not. You see what size that is? AAA. And these are AA. So I might think that I'm ready, that I'm prepared when the lights go off to say, not a problem, I've got new batteries. But if they're not the right size, am I prepared? No. Now the good thing is when I bought these batteries, I bought them for this flashlight. You know why?
That one's on the AA battery.
Yes, that's exactly right. Look at them. AA, see? So if you are prepared and ready, then even when it gets dark, you'll still have the light. Right? Did you know that we had a winter storm last week? Did you know that last week? I mean, last Saturday night, some people couldn't make it to church. There's a lot of snow that came. Did we get a warning? Did someone forecast the storm? Yep. And I was ready. I was prepared. You know what I did? What do you got to do if there's going to be a lot of snow? Am I going to scoop it out with my hands? What am I going to use?
Shovel.
Shovels or what else, Ryan?
Snowblower.
Snowblower. That's easier, isn't it? Yep, I got a snowblower, but I needed, because the tires were flat, I needed to ask somebody to come over with an air compressor, right, Matt? And Matt put air in it so that the tires were inflated, and I changed the oil and put the new oil in and the spark plug, and everything was ready. Except what else did I need to run it? Gasoline. So when I heard the weather report, there's a big storm coming, 5 to 9 inches, I knew that you better be ready. You better be prepared, right? So I went out and got some gas, and I was ready to run the snowblower 5 hours. And I'm glad I didn't have to do that all with my bare hands. I had shovels and I had a snowblower. You see, it makes a difference getting ready and being prepared, doesn't it? And so John the Baptist, in the gospel lesson I read for tonight, he talks about get ready, be prepared. That he's not talking about batteries and he's not talking about snow shovels. He says, repent and bear fruit. Repent and bear fruit. That's how we get ready. That's how God prepares a way into our hearts, by turning us away from sin and toward Jesus, and by producing good fruit in our lives. Let's pray together, okay? Dear Jesus, thanks for getting me ready. Help me to wait well. Prepare well, and to love well. Amen. Thanks. Some of you may recognize a children's song that contains these words. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. Throughout the season of Advent and Christmas and Epiphany, our theme is joyous light of heavenly glory. Jesus, the light of the world, and he wants to shine in you and through you as hope for the world, as forgiveness and salvation. All flesh, John the Baptist says, will see my salvation. You've been at baptisms, I would imagine. Perhaps you even remember your own, but certainly you remember the baptism of a beloved child in your life. And so instructions were given, and water was poured, and the word was proclaimed. And then perhaps a candle was lit from the Christ candle, and then an exhortation was given. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shined. Wake me with the morning light to the praise and glory of God. What does it mean for us to shine bright? Not so that others can see us, but to shine so bright that others are able to see Jesus in and through the fruit we bear, the fruit of righteousness, or as John the Baptist says, bear fruit that befits, that is worthy of repentance. It was Martin Luther who said, what does baptism mean for daily living? And Luther said, well, it means that my sinful self, with all of its evil deeds and desires, should be drowned through daily repentance, and that day after day a new self should arise to live with God in righteousness and purity forever. And it is St. Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, who says, I am confident, I am fully assured, that the one who began a good work in you is not going to stop halfways. He's going to bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So abound in love and be pure and be holy and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Some of you know that on December 6th each year, we celebrate the feast of St. Nicholas. 2 days ago. The Feast of St. Nicholas. Well, there is the word saint, of course, Santa. There is a tradition in Kansas City of a secret Santa. And it's been going on for a couple of decades or so. And people are wondering about these envelopes that kind of appear when someone is in dire straits with a crisp $100 bill in it. Who knows? Where does it come from? And so someone did some seeking, and they found out the identity behind this secret Santa. And they said, why are you doing this? Why are you helping people out when they're in trouble or when they have heartaches or when everything around them is collapsing and falling apart? Why? He said, well, I've been blessed. I had a business deal that turned out really well. But to tell you the truth, it's because of something that happened in 1971. And then he told his story. He gave his testimony. He was bearing witness to the light of Christ, or he was letting his light shine for the glory of God. And he said, in 1971, he said, I was an unemployed salesman, and I hadn't eaten for 2 or 3 days. I was homeless. I was living out of my car, and I had not a single cent to my name. But I was so hungry that I went into a diner, and I sat down in the morning, and I ordered this huge breakfast. And I enjoyed it, and I kept eating and drinking the hot coffee. And I thought, I don't have any money to pay for this. I wonder what they're going to do to me. But he said, I was so hungry, I didn't care. I was so desperate, I didn't care. I just ate, and I filled my empty stomach with that good hot food. And then they put my bill down beside me. And all of a sudden, the owner of the place, who had been pouring some coffee at some tables behind me, he came up and he said, sir, did you drop that? And he reaches down and he says, this $20 bill, it must be yours. You see, he had already sized up this customer, and he knew that the man was destitute and that the man was needy. And so he, with compassion, said, that must be your $20 bill. This secret Santa in Kansas City, he said, I was able to pay for my breakfast, and I had some dollars beside to take with me in my pocket. And as God's grace would provide in the days after that, I found a job, I got on my feet, and when God brought me so much blessing, I never forgot the compassion that was given to me. The compassion of Christ that is given to us, the light that shines in our darkness of sin, so that we too can let our light so shine before others that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. It's not about patting ourselves on the back or calling attention to ourselves. It's about giving praise to the goodness of God and the grace of Almighty God in Jesus Christ through His atoning sacrifice that washes us from our sins, that brings us out of darkness into His marvelous light, so that we can reveal that light to others. In our gospel reading for tonight, we hear about John the Baptizer. And we know, truth be told, that when John the Baptist shows up, that we can't be too far away from Christmas. John always makes his appearance every year in the season of Advent. Did you notice how St. Luke tells the story? It's almost like you're in a classroom and he's a history professor. He says, now it was in the days when, and we know that he's talking about 28 AD because of all the historical characters that he identifies. When Tiberius was the emperor of Rome, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, when there were two pretend half-brothers named Herod and Philip who were tetrarchs, when Annas and Caiaphas, his son-in-law, were the high priest in the temple in Jerusalem, and we say, oh, now I know what time in history that St. Luke is telling me about. But do you see what else he's doing? by in chapter 1 and 2 and 3 in his gospel of rooting everything that God is doing in human history, almost like a timeline, like a who's who list of important, prominent people. He is saying the story I'm about to tell you is not make-believe. The story that I'm about to tell you is not fantasy. It is rooted in the annals of history. And then notice the surprise that comes. In those days, when all the big shots are doing their big shot stuff, in those days, the word of the Lord came to not Tiberius the emperor, not one of those pretend kings like Herod or Philip, not to Pontius Pilate the governor, not to the high priest Annas or his son-in-law Caiaphas. No, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah. Yea, God. You see what he does? Who would have thought it? Who would have expected it? Oh, we've been reading Luke's gospel and we know the story. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were really old people. And they didn't have any kids. And the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and said, I think it's about time. You see, we're keeping track of time. I think it's about time for you and Elizabeth to have a baby. Like in your dreams, right? And they do. And John, you know the story. I mean, even when he was in his mother's womb, Elizabeth's womb, and Mary finds out from Gabriel that she's going to bear the incarnate one, that she'll be the mother of God in her womb, the incarnation, she goes to Ein Kerem to check it out, and there's Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant, with John in her womb, and there's Jesus, just a little embryo, in Mary's womb. And you remember what happens? Let your light so shine before others. And so this little six-month-old fetus in his mother's womb, boom, he gives a big, huge kick. And Elizabeth says, oh, my God. Wow. Why me? I get to be in the presence of my Lord, Jesus. Can you imagine it? Who would have thought it? In those days, St. Luke says, I'm not making this up. I'm showing you how well-founded it is. I'm showing you how historically accurate it is. If someone comes to you and they say, how can you believe that Jesus stuff? The best response you can give is, I'll pray for you, because how can you not believe it? If you look at all the archaeological, all the historical evidence, how can you not believe it? It takes more faith not to believe that Jesus is Lord than to confess that he is Lord in those days. So here's John the Baptist, who learned how to be a preacher when he was only 6 months gestation in his mother's womb. I mean, talk about going to seminary early, huh? He learned to be a preacher because why? Because centuries before, God spoke through the lips of the prophet Isaiah and said, the day of the Lord is going to come. And the way is going to be prepared, and the paths are going to be made straight, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. They may not want to see it. It'll be like a refiner's fire. It will be like a winnowing fork. It's not going to be pure pleasure for unbelievers, but all flesh will see the salvation of Almighty God when the day of the Lord . So John is in the wilderness, and he's doing what God has called him to do. He's preaching. And you notice how he preaches? He's trying to wine and dine the people. He's trying to be sweet to them. He's trying to make friends, right? No. You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? I mean, talk about going for the jugular. John the Baptizer. Why? Because he's been given a word from God, and woe is he if he doesn't proclaim it. You brood of vipers, that you're like a family of little snakes. Bear fruit that befits repentance. And don't say to yourself, yeah, but I got all my bases covered. You know, I was baptized. I was confirmed. I'm a tither. God can create tithers from these stones, is what John the Baptizer says. It's not about your credentials. It's not about my good works. It's only about the grace of God in Jesus Christ, the light of the world that wants to shine in you and through you so that all flesh can see the salvation of God. All flesh. The axe is already laid to the root, John says. You know what he's saying, right? If the axe is already laid to the root, the clock is ticking. I mean, the time is passing by. Strike while it's hot, huh? Wake up, sleepyhead. Get out of bed. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. Yeah, the axe is already laid. So the time is now. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, if you were listening to this kind of a sermon, fire and brimstone, how would you respond? Enough of that nonsense. Don't think I'm going back to that church again. That preacher's off the deep end. No, you know what's beautiful about our gospel? I mean, they heard it because the word of the Lord came to John, and the word of the Lord came to those who were given ears by the Holy Spirit to hear the word of God, and they said, what do we need to do? I mean, all the crowds are saying, what shall we do? And then there's an echo, and you hear the tax collectors who are pretty ruthless, what shall we do? And then you hear the soldiers, what shall we do? And I think, at least the way I read the text, there's a note of sincerity there. I don't think it's just desperation. I don't think it's trying to cover all the bases. They want to know what they need to do. And interestingly enough, John the Baptizer is not telling them what they need to do to get saved. He's telling them what saved people do. So it's not about what I do to get saved. It's about what the saved do because they're saved. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm nothing, John says. I'm not the light. I mean, people were waiting in expectation, Luke says. And they were starting to wonder, to consider, you know, perhaps, maybe, John the Baptizer, he might be the Christ? I mean, maybe? I mean, they were in expectation. They're wondering. And so John has to say, stop the nonsense. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the light, but I know who is. Of course he does. Because when he was only 6 months in the womb, he was already bearing the light and testifying to the truth. He said, one who is mightier than I is coming. I'm not even worthy to untie the strands or the straps on his sandals. He's going to baptize you with wind and fire. In fact, you want to talk about time? He's already got the winnowing fork in his hands. When do you use the winnowing fork? Harvest time. It's cold out there. Who in the world's going to be harvesting this time of the year? Unless one wasn't able to get the soybeans in because the weather didn't cooperate. Right, Arnie? Right? You see, what John the Baptizer is telling us is, if you really open your eyes and see, it's harvest time right now, and not for soybeans. But it's harvest time. It's time for people to be washed in the living grace of God with the almighty word of God and to be saved and to repent and to believe the good news, to turn away from Satan and sin and death, to be repented by the grace of God and to be entirely focused upon Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and sharing that light and that love and that irresistible hope with others. We've been really blessed this year. You know, 2 years ago we said, okay, we want to get 12 Thrivent Action Team grants, and we only got 8. So this year we said, okay, let's kind of pull back. Instead of saying we want to do 12 and we got only 8, how about we say we want to do 8? And then we already got 12. And then, lo and behold, I get a text on my phone. And then I have a conversation with one of the kids of our congregation, because you know how precious kids are to Jesus. Well, lo and behold, I say, let me check something out. I think Jean Wanek is a Thrivent member, and I'm going to go over there and see if she's applied for any Action Team grant. So on the 22nd, 2 weeks from tonight, it's going to be amazing. We're going to do the annual tradition of the children's nativity, right? And I found a children's book that I'm adapting that we're going to use as the basis of it. And Jenna Sir got a Thrivent Action Team grant. And we've got brand new costumes that have been ordered for the kids. Not Emmanuel money. And Julie Engel, she got a Thrivent grant because she wants to put together goodie bags and treat bags and stuff for the kids that are here on the 22nd. And then we found out from going over to Jean's house that she got approved. So now we got $250, and we've got a wonderful kid in our congregation. Right, Eva? Yeah, see, she knows. She looks in the mirror and she says, Jesus says you are special. You know that, right? You're special. And so she says, well, my teacher in school, she said, you're a part of a generous congregation. Maybe you'd like to do something in your church for the homeless. How about the Dorothy Day House? And so Ava shares her idea, and I said, I'm going to talk to somebody about a Thrivent grant. And so we got $250, and we're going to be able to go out to Costco and load up 2, 3, 4 carts of stuff for the Dorothy Day House to help the homeless, right? Not just a class project, but the compassion of Jesus, to do this in the name of Jesus. Can you see it? I mean, the light is shining in the darkness. And then we're going to give you a chance to participate in what God is doing. Because you don't want to hide your light under a bushel basket. You don't want to let Satan blow it out. So Ava will be back there in a couple of weeks, and she'll have a jar, and you can put coins in there, or you can put dollar bills in there, or a check for $100, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And all of that, not 75%, not 98%, but all 100% of whatever you give, plus the $250, is going to go in the name of Jesus to take care of some of the hurting, hungry, homeless people in our community. And I think that's good. And I think that makes Jesus smile. He who began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bear fruit that befits repentance. And St. Paul says, this is the fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ. You see where your righteousness comes from? Through Jesus Christ, you and I were made righteous so that the fruit can be poured out abundantly, so that the Father can get all the glory. Now, the word of the Lord came to John the Baptizer. Now, the word of the Lord comes to you. Amen. Our song of the day